guess we're ready.
Well, we'd like to welcome you out to our school board meeting tonight. We're happy you're here, and hopefully we'll have some enjoyable things take place tonight. First of all, we'd like to excuse Christy Cooley, who is out of town, and we'll begin tonight by having our pledge, and Kyle Nazer has said that he would do that. So, Kyle, if you'd like to come up and lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Kyle. Do we have any signed up? Nope, none. Okay, we'll go into our recognition part of our meeting.
Is Cindy up there?
But we're missing a principal. We really need her. Of course, I could talk for quite a while about Courtney if you'd like, so. He might not appreciate what I might say about him, but...
I can say a few things about Courtney.
Could we?
Yeah, we could.
We could have an enjoyable time, couldn't we, Jim?
Well, pretty well.
Do you want me to be here for this?
Oh, yeah, it's nothing that you wouldn't remember well. Oh, well. Okay. Do you want to go?
Quickly check and see.
She has a match endorsement tonight, so I don't know what time that looks
like. Well, we could also talk about Amy. I know Amy. She's sweet. All right.
Normally this time we have the principals who will be doing the volunteer of the year, the classified employee of the year, as well as the teacher of the year. With Sunday probably en route from, because I believe their classes are over in Brigham, she may be a little bit late. So we want to make sure that we give proper honor and to the Wilson tonight, to Wilson Elementary School and their employee and volunteer of the year. Amy Vaslett, Chris, is a great support. This is what was written on the nomination process. Amy is a great support to our classroom, but also our school. I have been able to teach her two children, and each year she has used her resources and time to teach us about Hanukkah. Amy is in charge of our annual science fair. She is pleasant, considerate, and amazing individual. And as always, we have a great group of volunteers at Wilson, and you are definitely exemplary of that. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
We'd like to present this to you, Amy, as Wilson Elementary Volunteer of the Year. So congratulations.
And with that, we'd like to present you with a gift certificate to
Hamilton Campus Award, as well as a check from the foundation, as well as the school board. Do you have family here that we'd like to introduce?
You better make them stand
yeah,
up
they gotta,
so we can see.
If you get embarrassed, they get embarrassed.
My husband, Paul, and my daughter, Hannah, and Lily.
Thank you. We'd like for you to take that to the board.
Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Way to go.
Courtney, come on down. Courtney Nazer has been nominated as the Classified Employee of the Year for Wilson Elementary School. And let me just share with you what has been written. Courtney Nazer is an extraordinary refocus specialist. He is dedicated, caring, and effective. Wherever he goes, he constantly reaches out to the students, greeting them by name. At lunch recess, he's always watching for potential problems, yet he takes time to toss a football or play tag with the children. He takes extra time to greet the less well-behaved students, pat them on the back, and ask them how they're doing. Students brighten when he greets them. They love him. When students learn he would be joining them for an activity, among the cheers that broke out, someone yelled, "Mr. Nazer rocks!" Best of all, his dedication and genuine concern for students make him highly effective. I have seen remarkable improvement in the behavior of some very difficult students that he has worked with. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The board would like to honor you for me as Wilson Classified Employee of the Year.
Thank you, Freddie.
And everything you hear about him is true, because he is a great guy. I'm not even going to joke about it today or something.
I'm not sure. Should I give this to your wife or
yes.
to you? Is that okay? You're watching me give it to him, so you have to give it to her. Here is a gift certificate for a dinner and also a check of appreciation from the Foundation Board as well as the Logan Board. Thank you so much. Would you like to introduce your family?
Yes.
Yes, I'd love to. I'm proud of it.
They all get to stand.
My wife, Dorothy.
Stand up,
Stand up.
Son, Christy, daughter-in-law, Kyle, Pedra, Kaylee, Ansley, Haley, and Burke. I appreciate this.
Congratulations.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Have a great family.
Thank you so much. You guys are great. Thank you.
Congratulations. And your principal's going to shake your hand, too.
Yes.
Oh. Sorry, I've been at math. We are excited to announce Amy Nolner as the Wilson Elementary Teacher of the Year. So come on up, Amy. Yay! This is what some of the people wrote about Amy. We received an overwhelming bit of applications and nominations for Amy, and so we just really appreciate the work she does. It says, "I have worked as a literacy aide at Amy's class the last 3 years. There are many things that impress me about her as a teacher. She's very respectful and patient with her students. She handles all situations with care and puts the needs of the students first. She is fair, and I have never seen her lose her cool. Amy is very good at adapting to the situation. She considers the needs of her students instead of just doing what is easiest or convenient. She cares about each student and their progression. Whether it be academic or social, she's always trying to do what's best, and she doesn't give up. Amy is very innovative. She's always willing to try something new and keep it fun and fresh for her students. Never boring. Her flexibility is a huge asset to her success as a teacher. She cares about her students and is familiar with their personal needs. I have enjoyed working with her and appreciate her as a teacher. You can tell she loves what she does and puts a lot of effort into her teaching. She's great." Another nomination said, "My daughter is now in second grade, but had Mrs. Nolner in first grade. My daughter hasn't shown near the improvement this year as she did last year. Even my daughter still comments how good Mrs. Nolner taught and helped her understand concepts. Mrs. Nolner is very involved with Wilson Elementary." Another person said, "Mrs. Nolner is such a great first grade teacher. She really shows that she cares about each child and makes them feel special. She makes learning fun and gets the kids excited about reading and getting smart. We really appreciate her. My first grader loves school and loves to read." Another nomination says, "We are very grateful for Mrs. Nolner. Our daughter has in the past had issues with her attention and citizenship, along with all the other improvements with our daughter." I didn't edit that one. "We have Mrs. Nolner to thank. So far, she has been the most affectionate teacher our daughter has ever been able to have work with her. Thank you. Mrs. Nolner is an amazing teacher. Every year before school begins, she visits every child at their home to introduce herself and take their picture to post on her classroom door. She makes each child feel special. She is a very creative teacher and makes learning fun. My daughter loves Mrs. Nolner and loves going to school each day to see what fun learning activity Mrs. Nolner will do that day. Another one, I've worked with Amy for many years. I've watched her teach with joy and enthusiasm. She loves the children she teaches and continually strives to improve her teaching. She has continued to her education and implements the skills and strategies she has learned. She is always willing to share ideas and materials with colleagues. She's a wonderful technology mentor for peers. She loves implementing her teaching with the smart board and helps other teachers improve their technological skills. Amy is a wonderful professional and friend. I love teaching with her. And these are just a few of the things that we heard about Amy. She, just on a personal note, we could probably put this about many of the teachers in our building. They go to Amy no matter what. If something is, you know, not exactly right, they go, Amy, can you help us figure that? I go to Amy, hey, look what's going on here. Take care of it. And so we just appreciate her sharing her expertise and her candor and the enthusiasm that she shows and the team spirit that she lends to our building. She's become a real leader in our ranks. And so congratulations, Amy.
Amy, the board would like to congratulate you on being Wilson School's Teacher of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great. Well deserved.
On behalf of the board,
thank you.
Talking on that and
thank
dinner.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you for giving a good foundation.
High five for Amy. Thank you. So we had two Amys doing it. Anyway, our Volunteer of the Year, and I don't know if it got mentioned that she has organized our whole school. She taught every child at our school how to make a science fair project this year. She taught them about how to use a thinking map to organize their thoughts and concepts and details, and they're going to be displaying them at parent teachers, and it's just the excellent kind of work that she has always done in our building. So I'm sorry that I was a few minutes late, and congratulations.
This time we also have the opportunity of having two individuals from the district office be awarded Classified of the Year as well as Teacher of the Year. Our classified person, Kara Lindsley, is not here today, but I'd like to have Clark Ballard, who is her immediate supervisor, kind of share a little bit about her, and then we'll go into the Teacher of the Year.
Thank you. It's an honor for me to be here. I've known Kara for a long time, and she's a person that works behind the scenes. Not many people in the district even know her. A lot of people at Mount Logan do, but because she's housed there. But in addition to doing all the computer needs at Mount Logan and around, she also has some involvement in our data and software with Pinnacle and SIS, and we just rely on her a lot. She's learned a lot about core standards and things like that in entering those into Pinnacle, and she's a lot of fun to work with. I knew her when I was working at the State Office of Education, and she would actually call down there for computer support. And I knew she was somebody I had to give an answer to, because if I didn't get back with her with the answer within an hour, she was on the phone again. Very persistent, and it's wonderful now being on this side of the equation and saying, yeah, Kara, go get them. She was nominated, her title is Student Information Systems Manager. She has a very large load on her shoulders trying to keep up with all the technology needs and working with only a skeleton crew here at Mount Logan Middle School. The requests for her help and expertise are endless. I know, because I routinely add to her workload. That's the person who nominated her. I do too. Kara, however, always responds with a cheerful, helpful attitude. I appreciate her so much and all she does to keep the circuits flowing at Mount Logan Middle School. Kara has been quick to respond to our technological needs this year and averted several disasters because of her willingness to come to our aid. We are so reliant on technology now to teach well that a lesson can become a mess if a projector dies or the computer goes awry. Kara is deserving of our thanks, but much more. Let me add to that, I was sitting in her office out at the middle school one day, and a teacher came in and said, "My projector's broken. My projector's broken. What do I do?" And she scrambled. I saw her scramble and get another projector in there and save the day. So she does that regularly. And just like to add my congratulations to her. I can't think of anybody more deserving of the honor of Classified Employee of the Year.
Our Licensed Professional Employer of the Year is Barbara Child for the district office. Barbara is our Title I math specialist and works in all of our six elementary schools and has been just such a vital part of our integration, especially as we're going into the Common Core. This is what was stated in the nomination. Barbara Child is an outstanding, dedicated math teacher specialist with a big, large exclamation point. She works diligently to guide and support best practices for teachers in her district. She consistently creates meaningful materials and provides top-notch training for teachers on a monthly basis as needed by their requests. Her time and efforts have resulted in increased student proficiency and understanding at every grade level. She performs her job with an enthusiastic, caring attitude that is appreciated by both teachers and students. Barbara deserves recognition for exceptional contributions to our district. Barbara is unique in her abilities because she literally will go in and for those teachers that are just having major meltdown times, she is there with whatever chocolate's necessary and how much Kleenex that's needed and really giving that support. And she does large group support down to individual and her ability to keep very focused and positive and allowing our teachers to know that they can do it has been amazing. We thank you so much for all that you do.
Barbara, the board would like to recognize you as District Office Licensed Professional Employee of the Year. Congratulations so much.
On behalf of the board and the foundation, is it check? I think that has your son's name on it. I'm not sure. Okay, that's we would talk. And also a dinner. Thank you so much for all that you've done. You'd like to introduce your family?
Yes, my husband Bruce is here and my son Colin.
Congratulations.
Thank you for being who you are.
Do
what you do.
Great. Call Dan up. Dan? Yeah. They're going to sing as they come in. Aren't they?
I hope so.
Well, that'd be great.
Yeah.
This might be worth staying for just as much.
We're going to have them sing or something.
I'm not sure what Randy or Richard got.
They've got to have something.
Are they going to sing something for us? I thought you guys out there planning something. Some kind of skit on for us.
It's an honor for me to stand up here and have you young people come up here and be awarded the opportunity to visit with the board and be distinguished here. It's something that I sit every year and watch you guys perform and I'm amazed because I have absolutely no talent. And I sit and watch you guys sing and act and the hours and hours and hours that you dedicate to do your craft is amazing to me. I was telling you just the other day, I got cut from the choir from a teacher that loved me enough to invite me to try out, but he says I was the worst monotone he's ever heard in his life. Crushed me, so I don't even sing in the shower anymore. But not really. I mean, I got over it. But it is. It's an honor to sit in the crowd and watch you guys and see the love that you have for the art that you perform. And I want to wish you continued success. And I want you guys to know that you carry on a great tradition at Logan High School. It's been known for years and years and years of the abilities that come out of Logan High School. And I think you owe a little bit of thanks to Mitzi and Randy. And I didn't want to leave here without them having a chance to brag about you guys a little bit to them. So, Mitzi.
I don't know if Randy agrees with this, but I think I have the best job in the whole wide world. It is really a thrill to watch these dedicated, talented students. And really, when you see them perform, it is just awesome. So I really appreciate their dedication, their hard work, because this cast really was one of those groups. They came prepared. They were off book really early. They built costumes. They built set. They helped paint. They did whatever needed to be done. And I love them and really appreciate them. And I am so proud of them. And Randy and I think we really want to thank those other adults who really help us with this, because it really is a collaborative effort. Mrs. Worley, who does the choreography, and Mr. Rasmussen and Dr. Wheeler and Mr. Briggs, who help with the music. All of those people are really important to us, and we appreciate our administration for their support and their encouragement and trying to get us whatever we need to help us. And we'd like to thank the board for recognizing these students tonight. We appreciate that. Thank you.
All I can say is ditto to what Mitzi said. And there was one student just so terrific at memorizing lines, Chris Jensen, who was fabulous. He didn't see the musical. He played the mute king, so he had no lines to learn. Yeah, it's wonderful. It is wonderful to work with these kids. Mitzi left one of our adults out that helped us out immensely, Julie Smith, our accompanist. She does a phenomenal job, and we're lucky to have her and hope that we can keep her in the near future for a long time. Thank you for your support. It's a wonderful. I do have the best job in the world, and these kids are fabulous. And every day when I go and we're learning new songs, it's just wonderful. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about my experience with them. So thank you for your support.
Well, the board would like to recognize you. We got a nice little plaque here for each one of you. And just want you to know how much we do enjoy your production. It was just tremendous. I think I look forward to them every year, and you do such a tremendous job. And I know a lot of it's due to your talent and also to the leadership you have. So thank you so much. Okay, I have one for Marque.
There you go.
Thank you.
Tyler. Katie. Austin. Sarah. Chris. Josh. Dallas.
Not the other. He's not here.
Braxton.
Yep.
Probably can give it. And there's a couple others here. Mitzi?
Mitzi, thank you. Randy?
Thank you so much. I'll have you give that.
I sure will.
Okay. Thank you all very much. If you'd like to just kind of go around there and shake hands with the board, we'd appreciate it. Thank you all very much.
And while we have this group here, we also had many of these same students came down and sang for us last week. Thank you so much for that as well. You were amazing. Great. I love your spiritual. Good job. You can't speak, correct?
Congratulations again. That's fine. Don't worry.
An actor knows how to come.
You guys are just awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Loved your story. You are really good at that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another year.
Congratulations. Another thank you. Thank
you, Randy. Great job.
And they all go home.
Okay. We'll now have a report from our PTA.
She's not here.
Not here. our classified employees, not here. Logan Education, Mike Mudrow, not here. But lo and behold, we have our Administrator Association, Kirk.
So here.
Thank you.
And
thank
I am
you.
Here.
I'm glad to see at least one of you decided to show up. Thank you.
One of us has a feeling of responsibility. Yes. Well, you know, our association is, we met about 2 weeks ago as a leadership and put forth some plans that we would like to do and some action plans. It's not really to the point that we're ready to submit the action plans, but there are ideas for the action plans we want to have. And that is to work very proactively with the school board and the superintendent to make sure that we have a very healthy environment in Logan City School District. We want to make sure that people feel good about what they're doing and that people are willing to cooperatively work together. And that really is one of our missions, and that's one of our action plans to do that. The other action plan that we have that we're creating is that we want to work with the superintendent to finalize or come forth with a proposal for a policy on reduction in force for administrators, because we feel that it's a little bit different than it is for the certified or certified licensed personnel. So we want to do that. Our secretary, Dave Long, was supposed to be getting in contact with Ms. Hunter to make arrangements for us to start to set up meetings with the superintendent on a regular basis. And if I remember last time we had a meeting, I'm not sure where he is, Stacey, I may have to ring his bell again. We wanted to do that in the second week in February. Within that time frame when the superintendent was available to start this addressing some of the common issues that we have as well as this reduction in force plan. So that's where we are right now.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming, Kirk.
You bet.
You don't mind if I go and watch the girls play basketball?
No. You go right ahead.
Huh? As long as they win.
As long as they win. Sophomores were 19-19. They fell behind 26-19. 30-26.
Wow.
Good. Thank you. Okay, the next we have action on our consent calendar. Yes, Ann. Thank you.
There are two things on the minutes. One is there are some corrections that I have on the December 13th, and then the agenda doesn't have the June 29th. That's not on the agenda, but we have it included. So I'm not sure whether you want to just have those pulled from the consent calendar and we vote on the rest of them and then we go
we
back
can.
To that?
Those were as we went back and looked at it, we needed
right.
to do
we needed
corrections.
To. It's so. Just not on the agenda, so I don't know. If
well, it says revisions to June 29th.
Yeah,
is
there.
It? Where is that?
It's on. It's in
so
there.
It is on there. So we look down below. Okay. Okay, great. All right, so I would like to pull that off. The minutes off of the consent calendar and move adoption of the rest of the calendar.
Okay, with those corrections, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
It's been seconded by Fred Dersch. All those in favor of accepting the consent calendar, will you say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we'll now have some action items. This is action on Logan High School truancy ticket proposal, so Dan, if you would like to,
yeah.
And it looks like you have your able-bodied
assistant. I got my ace here that's worked hard with
I didn't
Mike Russell.
My family, but they didn't.
They still like you?
Sometimes.
That's why they're not here. to talk about our truancy and ticket, possibility of doing tickets. And Doug's worked really hard on putting this together with Mike Russell and with the attendance people at the school, and I'd like him to present.
Okay. As you know, last week or 2 weeks ago at the work session, we presented you some data with our truancy. So there's two parts to the two reasons why we want to issue truancy tickets, Logan High School truancy tickets, separate from the police officers' truancy tickets that go through the court system. Which that is still an option for kids who are habitually truant, but we've had a spike in the number of kids with unverified absences. But also, the second facet of this is to help with kids in the hall being out of class. and help encourage those students to go to class. So it's really part of our overall intervention package in the sense that we want to, it's not just a punitive thing, but to help teach kids the importance of being in the class, be there on time, and at the same time have them learn some accountability for their actions and that choices actually have real consequences. So it's a teaching process also. So the thought being, as we see kids in the hall without a hall pass, that would give them some warnings and the usual process. If I catch students or any of the teachers or administration catch students out with a pass, and we've talked to them a couple of times, then they're given a slough and they're given Saturday school. If it continues, then we'll issue a Logan High truancy ticket, the first one being $15 and then $30, and then everyone after that $45. The other side of it is our students that are habitually truant and have received letters, which is according to the state law. After they have so many truancies, they get a letter from the state and a referral to juvenile court, and then there's a second letter. When that first letter comes, they'll be notified that upon receipt of the second letter, they'll automatically be issued Logan High truancy tickets. We have some students that have already exceeded that number, but that's to help put a little more teeth in our ability to help encourage students to get back to class, get the parents in, come up with a plan. So those are the two sides, the habitual truancy and the problem with kids in the hall. So that was the reasoning behind wanting to do this. But also, it speeds things up where it does not have to go through the juvenile court system. Two things we'd do with the two main things with the money as I presented this information is we'll meet with our logistics team and our student body officers, come up with a way to recognize good attendance and to come up with some rewards for students with good attendance. And then also in the future, after we've generated some funds down the road, is to hire a part-time person, particularly between 10:30 and 2:30 is where we have around the lunch periods and going into seventh hours to help with the hall monitor and to help us with keeping the halls clear, issuing tickets, and so forth. So those were our two plans for the money. And meeting with those teams, we'll come up with more specifics. But that'll be the future plan. In the short term, we will immediately come up with a plan of rewarding good attendance. And use some of those funds that way. Hopefully, there's not a lot of money there to do that, but the trend we're on now, there'll be some money, then I think it'll help encourage kids. So that's the idea.
The only thing you didn't talk about was the appeals process.
Oh, yes, and I submitted there's an addendum with the appeal process.
Yeah, I just don't want to talk about it right now.
Sure.
We have it. But.
And as of anything else we do, we always give kids the opportunity to appeal. If they feel like they were undeserving of the ticket, they'll come. We'll give them 14 days. They can come in and set up an appointment with us and with one of their parents and discuss, the reasons why they feel they shouldn't have been given a ticket. So with anything else, we always have an appeal process.
Well, what I like about that, if they don't like the ticket or that truly it gets them in to talk to you, which, and it gets a parent realizing that there's a problem and that in order for the kid to not have this big fine, because it's a fine, right, not a fee.
Right, it's a fine.
That to not have the fine, maybe mom and dad go in and we talk about the problem. And that, to me, I think is one of the strengths of it is, there are consequences. It helps parents to have kids have consequences, but also gets parents in there to talk to the school and that we become partners. And that, to me, I think is one of the strengths of the proposal.
Absolutely. That's our goal.
Doug, when you talked about giving warnings first or something, are you going to do that for a period of time, or is that per individual, or how do you?
Well, I like to do it as I get to know the kids. I mean, I can go around and tell you the kids I see all the time, and I'm always, if it's the first time, I say, hey, where's your help pass? And have a conversation. Hey, from now on, otherwise you're going to, and I like to do it individually. We get to know the kids. If this gets passed, then we will send out a letter to the parents and also put it in the announcement so kids know this is coming. So it's put out there, and also we'll be telling kids, hey, Pretty soon we're going to start issuing you tickets. You need to get to class. And so that's our procedure. But I just like to work with kids on a one-on-one basis and see,
yeah.
Which in the long run prevents a lot of appeals. Because I know the kids and why they're not in class, and yeah. I see them a lot. If I know them on a first-name basis and memorized every pair of shoes they own, then they're getting a ticket. Yeah. So.
Just a little bit off the subject, tell me about the attendance on Saturday school. How does that compare to where we've been? Or
This year, we've had more. The attendance has been up at Saturday school. As far as kids being required to go to Saturday school. Mm-hmm. And we had...
Early in the year, we weren't getting very good attendance
right. To
Saturday school. I think the kids thought we were going to do away with the policy.
I see.
But as the year's gone on, more and more kids are mm-hmm. are realizing that we're sticking with the policy, and the attendance is getting better.
Yeah, and that is true. At the first, more people were supposed to have been going to Saturday school, but were choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, some of them have lost some credit. But
what's the difference between that program and this?
Well, Saturday school, if they go over on their attendance, then they have to attend Saturday school or they lose credit for that course. If they go to Saturday school, then they get whatever grade they earned. So if I had earned a B, but I had too many tardies, then I go to Saturday school and work off that time, and then I still get my B from that course.
But with this policy, then they could get fined on top of that. Is that right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if they're in the halls but haven't gone over, but I'm constantly finding them, they might have this, but not Saturday school, or they could have both. But when I give them a ticket, I'm also giving them a slough, which also sends them to Saturday school. Even if they haven't gone over, an unverified is an automatic Saturday school, unverified action.
And giving them the slough and having to go to Saturday school hasn't seemed to fix that problem with certain kids?
No. Especially our habituals.
Well, at least not to pay the fine for Saturday school.
$5.
It's $5.
And then $15 for the fine.
Are kids paying their fees?
Yeah, they can't get in the door to Saturday school if they don't pay the $5. They have to have their Saturday school ticket and the $5.
Now, this one, what happens if they don't pay?
They'll pay with Cheryl Brown. If they don't pay, then will be turned over to collections like any other.
And we haven't talked about that one. Has that helped?
Oh, yeah.
That program where we do send them to collection?
Not really an issue anymore.
So it's helped bring the money in then?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Most people are paying their fees.
You know, we institute it. So often we institute something, and especially if it's working well, we don't hear about it. So that is working well?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I have a question from 2 weeks ago. Maybe I missed it, but that was quite a spike increase for this year in terms of truancy.
Mm-hmm.
Where my question is, and maybe it was already asked and answered, I don't know, but for my sake, were those the same students or were there different students among those?
But that was just the total, and it's been
just
tracked
total,
over a year.
Yeah. Many
right.
of those were the same offenders then.
They
saying?
Possibly could have been, because he had, I can't remember, I think it was 5 years, 5 or 4 years from January to January every year.
And it could be all 7 of my periods that I'm tardy for,
yeah,
right?
Right. So you could have 7 truancies
right.
in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means that figure then is maybe just a little bit, not totally accurate.
Well, it's but individuals and together.
It's accurate.
For the number of truancies, but there could be many of them the same.
I think it goes back a little bit to what I was saying, too. I think some of the kids thought this policy was going away early in the year, and so that's, I think, what helped it spike a little bit.
So the habitual ones, a big share of that maybe could be habitual repeaters.
Correct.
Keep on doing it.
And it's the juvenile court stuff is really slow.
Okay.
It takes a long time. So.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, I need a motion to accept the Logan High truancy ticket proposal.
I'll move it. Accept it.
Okay, it's been moved by Fred Dersch that we accept the Logan High School truancy ticket proposal. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
It's been seconded by Ann Geary. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
We do want to hear about it, so okay. We're excited for that.
And thank you that we shared with the board, and I shared with you a June review of where we are to determine whether we need to make any changes next year.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll now have some discussion items. We'll turn some time to our superintendent for the mid-year review of the school improvement plans.
Starting on page 45 and in the subsequent, we wanted to give you kind of where our schools were in terms of the school improvement plan process. It's been very heartwarming to go to each of the schools. I've done about half now mid-year reviews with them and what they are accomplishing at their schools. Elementary specifically, we have our Dibbles scores, and if you want to go out to the portal, they are recorded there under assessment. Our Dibbles are looking strong for the mid-year. This becomes kind of an indication of how we're going in terms of our performance on end-of-level tests at the end of the year. Now, while those are not the only measures that we look at, obviously that those are measures that do have accountability processes with the state. So if you go on the board,
where am I going again?
Go to the board portal.
Okay.
School improvement. Under assessments.
Okay. So there in the middle.
Which is on the.
The old PDF. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Above the SRI PDF, right?
And then it says the Dibbles. I can walk you through that so if I can find it.
Dibbles PDF, right? Right, not right there. Right there. Oh,
Dibbles.pdf. It's Dibbles.pdf on the right hand side.
Oh, that's where we were.
Okay.
But you
the assessment is on the second line.
Oh.
Go to assessments on the second line. And then on the right hand side, third one down is Dibbles. Clark, it's Dibbles.pdf, isn't that?
Dibbles.pdf, and that's...
Mine's just one page, and he's in some really nice color stuff.
You scroll down through it. You should be able to scroll down
Mine
through
has
it.
Just
no.
One page there, but Jim has a really nice thing.
Jim has his, but which one did you go into?
Mine was at the very bottom of that page. By itself on mine.
It's in the center. It's centered.
All the way at the bottom.
It's centered at the very bottom.
There's a color.
Instead of the right hand column, it's centered at the very bottom.
Okay.
At the very bottom of the page of your portal.
There we go.
Under assessment.
Great. Now it's pretty colors.
And this is Dibbles.
Instead of black and white.
Right in the middle.
That looks
mine
better.
Is not there, but let me see if I can refresh. What? If what not, I will go off of one of yours.
Okay.
There it goes.
Where?
Okay, way down.
Way down, right there. Right
oh,
there.
That one. Okay.
There were two dots.
All right.
Door for me.
Actually, having the other one up is not a bad thing because it talks to you about the Dibbles oral reading fluency, or the DORF, is what really they look at. That's kindergarten through fifth grade. It's done a little bit differently in each grade level, but as you start looking at each of the schools, you're seeing that we're at mid-year, which is where the mark is. We are seeing some tremendous gains. For example, if you go to Adams Kindergarten, and
let me go back to that.
They had this is first sound fluency. You'll see F. That's what FSF means. They have gone up from 11.3 to 39.5 in this first part of the year. So, you just keep going back up. That's in kindergarten FSF. And then by going into the different grade levels, if you wanted to go down to the next one, you can see
the first grade and the DORF, which is the oral reading fluency, that there is a connection between oral reading fluency and comprehension. And this is one. But you can see where we were, where that goal, we were at, the goal was 23, and we have gotten to 58.9. So at Adams. And again, going through this in each grade level, in each school, we have seen some tremendous gains.
But when we see the red, that's a concern, right?
Red, yes. Red means you're not a proficient. The yellow is likely to need some help, but that's more your strategic, your intensive.
And
they're the ones that are doing
more.
That are doing more things, work on a consistent basis with our literacy coaches, our ESL teachers, and our special ed school. It's really
most
you're looking
of those
at that's tier three.
Disadvantaged or
it's your tier three kids.
You know what's sad is there are very few red in kindergarten. But you start getting more and more red as the kids get older.
Well, and it does. At the end of the year, though, what we found, I was talking to, Gerald at Woodruff. They found that the kids came in less than 30% into first grade this year. Last year, they came in at 30%. This year, they came in at a stronger amount because of what happened in kindergarten. So they actually started at a higher level. And what he saw, first of all, was number one, he didn't have as many move-ins, move-outs as he's had in the past, which is a tremendous process. But you start looking at the Bridgers, the Ellises, and the Adams specifically. When they start a new grade level, it's not with the same children that left us in the spring.
Right.
And that's one of their biggest challenges, that they're constantly having to work with kids that were not in their system from the beginning. Those kids that are in the system all the way through, they're seeing some tremendous gains and consistent gains all the way through. Fourth and fifth, it's not as strong of a correlation, but it is still one of the best ones that we have. We're waiting on SRI. Clark, when are SRI tests going to be finalized in the elementary?
The SRI.
Daryl,
I know they're doing them.
They're in the process. I believe it's by the end of the month. We'll have that data available for you in February to go over, and that helps again with that double check with our comprehension. So, but you look at Bridger, it's just amazing what we're seeing and some of our growth, because again, the scores are not static. So the expectation is that they will rise, and our kids are doing that. Our kids are coming along very, very well. So we've got the 36 pages. You're more than welcome to look through. I think you'll see that as you look at the literacy goals of each of the elementary schools, they are very, very focused on encouraging students to gain mastery. And they're working on comprehension. This year, with the addition of Thinking Maps training, what they're in the process of transitioning now, utilizing that Thinking Maps into writing, which is our first foray into the core. Next year, we will have our focus, the state's focus, is the introduction of K-5 language arts in the new Common Core. So we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but trying to get our teachers so that they're aware of and anticipating what is going to be happening, because again, that bar rises in the writing portion specifically, but all of the language arts. You'll see again the Common Core, and what we get from the Common Core is less standards but deeper over time.
So this year our CRT is not on the Common Core, or are we going to see
you will
interesting
see
the, things?
You
at
will
the end
see
of
some
year?
Things in our math specifically, because we're embarking on a full focused transition to our math in our elementary and for Common Core, which are international standards. The test they will be taking will be the old core, and we'll be doing so until 2014-2015. Now, with that being said, we will share with parents and work with parents and saying, folks, there is a potential disconnect, what they're learning here and what they're testing. What we have seen and what the statistics show in other areas is that because of what they're doing in the Common Core, though they're not going over some of the specifics that are the old test have, they're going to be given, they will have enough tricks in their bag, they will have an understanding of number sense, they will be able to answer the questions and still do
and
fairly
probably
well.
Or do better.
So they, yeah, and so we know, we don't know what those scores will be. The interesting part on this is, that's part of the challenge when you make a transition to a new core, is the test takes some time to follow. We're seeing a tremendous, in all of the schools, the efforts of our teachers, our elementary teachers, are amazing. They are working their tails off and are seeing some really good success in some areas. The challenge we have mostly this year is the fact that as they're going into, especially your third, fourth, and fifth, there are some gaps on the new core in terms of where things are taught. So they may be in a grade that last year, the old core, they would have been getting a new concept. But now it's being done in the grade they just left. So they've missed that. So part of the challenge for our upper teachers is not only going through the new core, but figuring out where those gaps are for the kids so that they can handle some of the new materials, because it's now, according to the core, it's review, but for some of these kids, it's brand new because they never saw that in their prior.
So sixth
years.
Grade has the same thing.
Yes.
But next year, seventh graders will be
okay. As we transition, we will be transitioning into seventh grade math, Common Core, and secondary math 2, Common Core. And so this year we did 6th grade and 9th grade and K-5. So that's, as this process is going through, our kindergarten kids are getting a different foundation than what kindergartners have gotten in the past. That will then transition as they go through, and there'll be less and less holes over the next couple of years. But our current 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade students have some gaps that we need to make sure that we address. And at this point, in talking with the principals, and they're working with their staffs, and with Barbara's help, they have really made sure that they've done as much as they can to get that support system in there for the teachers as well as for the kids. At our middle school level, next month we'll have, we have finished up the Explore, which was done in October. Those scores just came back, and we haven't even had a chance to look at them, but we will review with you those scores in February. That kind of share gives you kind of the same sense of where our student body is for middle school as we have the Dibbles for our elementaries. In talking with and working with Mike at the middle school, they have been working hard at the transitions again in mathematics. They have been not done as large of an implementation of thinking maps, though they are doing it in they have some pockets that have done very well, and they're continuing with some additional training. They're going to be going through day 2 training here this next week. They also have been working on the backward design work on their curriculum with the Common Core in anticipation of next year. The language arts teachers are working on that, and their ancillary areas, your social studies, your sciences are also working, as they are, the Common Core is written as a language arts core, but they have a whole appendix specifically on how this should be adapted in other subject areas. And so they're taking that now and working so that as they transition next year in the language arts portion, there will also be a review and revision of their science and social studies curriculum. High school, are in the process of finishing up on the plan, which is again the pre-ACT test. That data will be finished, we're finishing testing here this next week at South. They had a larger window in which to give the test, so they've been actually doing some assessments on this since October for the 10th grade students. That data will come back probably in March, and we will share with you in March where they are. Their end-of-level tests, as a reminder, are not the entire student body. It's a smaller snapshot than it is at the elementary level. Ninth grade does not count. They only look at 10th and 11th in language arts. They will look, this year will be interesting because we will still be taking an algebra test in secondary math 1 because there's no secondary math 1 test. And I believe in geometry they will also, they will take the geometry test for, they may take the geometry test for some of the students in the advanced, because there's a regular secondary math 1 and there's an advanced secondary math 1. We're not sure how all of that's going to work. It's going to be very interesting to see how that coordinated class, which no longer has the sub, you know, the specific algebra 1, algebra 2, or geometry moniker, is going to affect the assessments. Again, we believe because we're going more in depth than the expertise of our teachers at the high school, we'll see scores still staying fairly steady. The state has applied for and will be applying for a waiver. We will know at for this year, starting this year. So AYP as we know it is gone. We will be sharing with you a whole different process that will be based around the grading of schools, which will be part of this next year. Grading of schools has a strong growth component, which we've not had before. So that will, it will change how we dialogue with you. It will change how we interact with the schools in terms of the data. And but there will not be sub-scores for individual subgroups that will put us in jeopardy. In fact, all of the potential consequences, negative consequences that were under AYP will be gone. They will only have supports.
Sorry, remind you on the growth measure, that's pre-test, post-test?
It is a compilation. It's using the what they call the Colorado model, looking at multiple years' worth of data to determine whether or not they see movement in a child's or progress in a child's.
So that's over 3 to 4 years?
3 to 4, how much they have for the child is okay. What it will do. Now that will mean individual, some children, if they're coming into the state, they don't get a growth mark. Okay. So, but those that have data from other schools or from the same school, they will then have a comparison from year to year.
And are these the same
tests
we're using?
In this case, they will be using the end-of-level tests okay. and assessments in language arts and mathematics. Once we get to the new testing in 2014-15, it will be much more robust. But then we start again in that process because they won't be able to say what they did in the past. The plus on this process is each school will have their own growth targets. In other words, at this point, when we were under the old AYP, we had a growth, everyone had to meet the same bar over time. We still have bars over time, and it will be a 6-year, the proposal that we're putting in is that we will reduce the number of kids who are not proficient by 50% in 6 years. So, but that goes by school. So a school that had a small amount still has to make growth. They can't just rest on their laurels and wait until, you know, 3 or 4 years down and panic. They will have to be working on specific plans now because they're going to have to reduce their, even though it's smaller, they still have to reduce that to get to a higher percentage than what they are now.
Which is sometimes harder.
So it will allow each school to set and determine through their SIP program exactly what they want to be able to accomplish. Their focus is going to be on those that are not proficient, regardless of what subgroups they are in, so that we're saying these are the kids that are challenged. How are we going to meet the kids that need Tier 2 and Tier 3 interventions? And so you'll see a lot of changes on that in terms of...
So the child in Tier 2 have to move to Tier 3?
No.
I'm sorry, tier 3.
Okay, remember, tier 2 is the secondary. Tier 3 would be your special ed and really focus.
One tier to another tier is what I'm saying.
Right. There is a potential that as we look, if the child is struggling in tier 2 and has not shown the progress, we've got to ensure that there is not something in, you know, and that's, you know, where Mary comes into play is are there some neurological situations that are making it so that this child cannot learn? And so, it's, again, it fits really closely to our RTI in terms of making sure that is it a child's inability or is there something that is blocking this child from being successful?
So is it a system or a child?
That's what we find out.
Yes.
That's what you find out. Correct. Is it a system or a child?
So this process...
This process should allow you to differentiate that.
Yes. Okay. So we'll have a richer set of data than we've had before. It will be based upon what is going to... We will have schools that will be graded. That's part of the law. We know that. And this is the rubrics that go behind that. And I've been very fortunate of being on both committees to really see what the psychometricians are doing. And it's actually a much more robust plan of looking at data than we've had before. So it's going to actually give us more to assist the classroom teacher on in terms of data.
So the new measures that are developing are going to be more... valid and reliable.
That is, if you look at that, and I've been in, they have sent down some direction that they're going in both the math and the language arts, and it is far different than what we've done, and much more comprehensive. We're getting away from the multiple guess type process. They're really looking at process. They don't want necessarily what's the final answer. They want to know how a child has gotten to that answer. So the work is important. Now the challenge is how do you do that in a computerized adaptive model? I mean, so there's a whole lot of bells and whistles on this that are, it's going to be very interesting how they pull the whole thing off. But so far, and this is done by the 33 states that are involved in the Smarter Balance, I've been extremely impressed at the level of specificity. That there's a reason for this costing $45 million. So with that, you've got, you look at the high school. I think that the biggest concern we have on there is our obviously attendance in terms of if you look at the attendance, that is a challenge right now for students to be successful in class. We need to continue to monitor that with the high school graduation rate, wanting to make sure that is as accurate as possible. Again, it was interesting. I was in the meeting with counselors the other day, and some of them were saying, well, we went through the list, and they found some kids that are supposedly the non-completers, and yet they know that they had gone and we had data on. So we've got to do not only record-keeping cleanup, but we've also got to make sure that we are very clear about where our kids are, who current seniors. In fact, Clark and I will be working in the next 2 months with the high school, specifically going over this year's proposed seniors, going back 3 years, going back 4 years, and making sure that we have a knowledge based on every single child that's been in that class all the way through it so that we don't have any surprises come June.
Now, when we give that final report, does that go, so if a young man or young woman finishes up by September, are they...
They are considered a completer.
If is that the length they have till September?
They have until September 30th.
Okay. So are we finding ourselves doing much with those? I know, you know, those that, you know, don't graduate, and then they have that summer, and I know periodically, over the years, we've asked for reports or a follow-up.
So that we'd have...
Yeah, and I don't think we've ever really...
This is how many of them actually graduated.
I don't think we've ever really got a firm thing on that. I think that would be really, really good if we had that kind of information as a board on which ones and completed, because we don't ever...
Well, up until this year, to be honest with you, we didn't...
Need
that September 30th was not a deadline. Mm-hmm. We never had a deadline before. This is under these new rules, this is the first time there was a deadline on completers, because we had lots of kids that throughout time we would have, you know, obviously the longer we went, the less connection we had with the child. But now, because it's, now that we do have that deadline of September 30th, we have more of an opportunity to keep in touch with. And I think Clark can share with you for this year how many of those kids there were and how many kids actually completed.
Because I know we've talked a lot about that in the past, that what happens to these kids who are just a little away from getting it or nothing? And I know that's been kind of a concern. So this is going to help that,
yes,
so that we will know. So could we have that on, say like October, at a meeting in October, we could have a report on that?
It might even be better to do it before September 30th.
Well, we would know, but
they
would
know who they were in October.
So when we are getting gathered the data to send in to the state, would be the time that we can report to you.
Do
you want to share with them, though, what we had from the last year?
It's very interesting. I'm going off the top of my head. I know I have more detail, but there were approximately 30. That's a pretty good size number of graduation pending at the end of the school year. That would be students who were within, you know, X number of credits. With the potential of graduating, I interacted with one or two of them myself, and I know the counselors were interacting with all of them. Some of them were trying to take electronic high school. That's a tough way to complete, because just in the summer they're on their own. Others were in different kinds of programs. We did have probably 10 of those 30 complete, and we marked them. We also, after the fact, realized that some of them were mismarked. We had some clerical problems with the data, and so we're coming up with the high school Thursday morning. We're going to start our discussion about in detail how we're going to do this several times during the year, and we're going to go right down student by student. We're going to take the time to do that, student by student. These aren't just numbers. These are people. And
what about like our? I know we have in the Hispanic community. I know we have a fair amount of movement back to their native country. That if a student is registered here, let's say they've gone through half of their senior year, and for Christmas they go back and never come back. How does that affect our graduation rates, or what happens?
They would be considered a non-completer unless they came back or we received requests for records. Mm-hmm. We have no requests for records, and they never show their face again. Then at that point, then it goes against us.
So
records
no
are not requested.
Their choice.
Yeah, whenever.
If they choose not to go back to school.
They would then
they
would be a non-completer as well as a dropout. Unfortunately, there may be some place somewhere where they go and they start a whole new set of records, and for whatever reason they're not requesting, they don't mention that they were from our school. And so even from another country, we may not be receiving a request of records. So it leaves us in limbo. We end up holding that, even though they may truthfully have gone to another institution and actually gone through to graduate.
So they begin officially with us in ninth grade.
There are two, they do, as well as in 10th grade. We have a ninth grade four-year record we have to look at. We have a three-year record we have to look at.
I am actually in conversation with some folks at the state office trying to determine what documentation really needs to be. Does it need to be an actual request for records, or if we actually have documentation of a conversation of some sort?
Could we have parents sign that we're withdrawing? Don't they sign something anyway?
That's the question I'm asking right now, because it seems to me that if we had some documentation,
they've withdrawn from school
someplace outside the country. The ones that go outside the country are the biggest problems, because you go into a completely different system. They may or may not ask for records.
Is that the biggest problem we have, or a fair amount problem?
It's that and not saying they're going out of state, saying they're going down to Salt Lake, and we just don't see it.
but they could not graduate officially unless they got the records from here, correct? So if they went down to West High, if they didn't request the records here, they wouldn't be eligible for graduation there. They wouldn't have any credits.
Not in, if, but if they left us as a ninth grader.
Yeah, I'm saying if they left as a sophomore or a junior.
Sophomore and a junior, most places in the state will come and we know about it. But sometimes we'll get kids. We had how many students that this year, they were with us as 10th graders. We did not see them at all in 11th grade. And they showed back up as 12th graders. And we had no record that they had gone to another school. So there was a handful.
This is a process for the whole state, probably for the whole country, because we, with our computing systems and our ability now to track students, we're able to do things that we were never able to do before. That's both good and bad, because we can, for example, if the student leaves here and goes to West High and they do what they're supposed to do, they will get the student's statewide ID number. So even if we don't get a request for records, the state will know that that student went from Logan to West High. And if that student then drops out of West High, it'll count against West High, not us. Yeah, but it's really kind of an interesting project to be involved in.
We've got a lot of work to do, but we're all now on the same page in the entire United States. So for the first time, there can be a comparison of graduation rates now, state to state, school district to school district.
So what happens in terms of if a student is here at their sophomore year, leaves in their junior year, comes back for the senior year, how do we count that student?
That student, as they come back in, as long as they finish up, if they will finish up with us, then they can be completer.
Okay. So even though they're missing a chunk of data.
Right. But they would have to, obviously, most of these kids are credit deficient, so they're having to make up credit, which means the chances are they're also going to South or they're doing some other work. But they're at the greatest risk of not finishing up with their class, but then they're the best candidates for finishing up by September 30th. But we've got to work with them over the summer, and that's our challenge because we don't have as good of a program in that in place yet for them that we have. We have some summer school, but it's very hit and miss, and it's got to be much more strategic to get those kids finished by the 30th of September. Those that are challenged don't all of a sudden, see the light and turn into studious people overnight. We still have a challenge with the definition because all of our students that are, and we have a large post-high school program in our special education, they do not graduate with their class. They wait and they stay with us until their 22nd birthday, and unfortunately, those are considered non-completers. And we don't, we've got to make sure that as we provide that data, that people see that there are some legitimate groups of students that are still being very, very successful, but just don't meet the definition as we have it for graduate.
But unfortunately, that's still going to be held against us.
It will be still.
And it's this big flag up there saying this many kids didn't, and maybe every other, all of them might be.
It's 22 kids, and that's 5%.
I don't understand that. I don't see why they make that.
And the kids, we don't do it with cash anymore, right? So it's just our kids? Because at one time we would have had cash as kids as well as ours.
That's one of the most unfortunate parts about the new law that we've tried to work with, but it is, so far they've not. Because in their new definition, see, they go by graduator, those that graduate, and then they have non-completers. So they're saying, well, we're fine with that. Well, most people, they'll look at, you have a graduation rate, and then they assume that they subtract that from 100%, and that's your dropout rate. And it's not. But within that, to have to go through all that explanation is our challenge. In the past, we were able to move them off to the side and not count them in our total number of students. So they didn't count against us. and their programs would still continue. We just don't have that same luxury anymore. So that is the mid-year school improvement plan. As you've read through them, are there any questions on any schools?
Well, it seems pretty specific to me.
Yeah. It's nice to have that comparison teacher by teacher by teacher. That's interesting.
Our teachers are doing an outstanding job. Yeah. They are working tirelessly for our kids. It is, you know, being able to just being with a group of them and being recognized by the National Title I Association. It was wonderful to listen to experts, and we're actually past some of the experts in terms of some of the things we're doing for kids. And that's just because of the dedication of our staff.
Okay, thanks, Marshall. I guess we're
on a roll now.
You want to do the legislative session?
It is starting in earnest. You have in front of you the materials that are going on. We have Day at the Hill. You're more than welcome to come on Thursday. It's going to be, you'll leave here about 7.
Let me read to you what, are you planning on going to that, Fred?
I'm not sure.
Day on the Hill is Thursday.
This Thursday.
Yeah.
It's a combined USSA-USBA mm-hmm. meeting.
Well, and what they're, let me read to you what they're doing. They're starting, normally we start at about 10 o'clock. They're starting at 8:30 with continental breakfast, at 9 o'clock with a welcome, and then an overview. And then they're going to talk about talking with your legislators, with Lisa, Patty, and Richard. Then at, from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. is lunch. And then at noon, it's Representative Arndt, upcoming education bills, 12:20. Then we start like we regularly do. So I think what they're doing in the morning is more of the go talk with your, and it's really, this sounds horrible, but it's really kind of the beginners. This is how you talk with your legislator. That
they want us.
Thing.
They do want us to go out yeah. and see our.
And so, you know, they actually give us an hour and a half in there to visit with them. If we're going to go at 9 a.m., though, I think we need to contact them and at least be able to visit with some of them.
Yeah, I would do that.
Otherwise,
I just needed to know.
We might as well go at noon. You know, be there at 11:30.
And that would be fine. I'm fine with setting up those appointments if we can. I just needed to know who else was going to be going. I knew Ann was going. Is there anybody else who's able to go?
I don't think I can go on this Thursday.
And Christy usually would, and she's
right.
not, so,
no, so she's not
we'll talk.
Here. Okay. We'll work through that. If you
I'll
look
let
at
you
the,
know, because I'm not sure. I'll let you know.
If you can, let us know. We'll kind of work through, and I'll call tomorrow
and
see whether
who we can visit with, and if we're not able to get with them,
then we'll go a little bit
yeah,
later.
Yeah, I don't know that the three of us or the two of us need how to talk with your legislator. Since
the material that I put in, starting on page 57, are just the initial general session education numbers up to that point. They keep changing on a daily basis. Some big things are not on that list yet. One major concern that was brought to our attention late last week is a discussion on a whole different way of doing health insurance for all state employees, including teachers, that will take all of the new money to implement. That was from Senator Bramble. That's all we have. We have nothing more than that. I'm hoping that on Thursday we'll have a clearer understanding of exactly what that is meaning. You have some very good news from the governor. You noticed at the end of this process I gave you the governor's commission recommendations. That's what the funding process is for. The challenge is that the governor has tried for an additional 1% of additional new money to schools above and beyond the full funding of the WPU. The challenge with that is right now our Utah retirement systems is going up 3.5%. Is that correct?
Right. So that works out to like an 11% increase.
And We know that, and as well as looking at our health usage, our current health usage within the pool that we are in. The pool is well above 100%, which you have to run around 80% to have a flat line, and so anything above that means that obviously the next year rates will have to be adjusted. So there's a very good potential there will be some more increases in our health insurance costs. So you look at a small amount coming in for new money, and yet the right now current commitments for ongoing commitments are probably going to be eating a lot of that up. So it's there's even though it's good news, it's also somewhat humbling and frustrating news. We just don't. There's so many bills out there that have not yet been finalized.
There's a title.
There are titles, but there's no meat to them. We still have Senator Osmond, who is now looking at not teacher evaluation, but administrator evaluation and superintendent evaluation process. So we're not sure where that comes into play, as well as with tenure. He still is looking at some type of a tenure or a bill, and we're just not sure how that's going to come. There's a lot of verbal talk, but there's been nothing in writing yet. One of the concerns we've had from up here is just in initial talks with Senator Hilliard specifically about the impact of fully funding the WPU or not. Just a lack of understanding on a lot of our legislators' part that even though we are not a growing district, if they don't fully fund the WPU, we lose.
When they fund growth,
we don't necessarily gain, but we don't lose because the pie gets bigger, and those districts that have more students take their part, but our sliver still can be the same, and that's what our goal is. But if you keep the WPU the same, which it has been, and they're getting larger, they take more of that pie, leaving less for us. And somehow that concept has evaded legislators, and we're not sure why. We're not sure what discussions have been had on the other side. Parents for Choice have determined that they will get a legislator to fund a bill that would we would lose funding for any student who is going for release time, and that's something that's new. They're seeing it as more flexibility for their children to take classes online. It's kind of a Senate Bill 65 spillover. We're still looking at Senate Bill 65 to do what we can to adjust it so that we are not in a position of losing the type of funding. That is what has been stated, but Representative Lass is supposed to be working on a bill, but when Steve Norton and I talked with him in a conference call 2 weeks ago, the basis of his wanting to make the changes is still with the focus that we sounded like from him is, well, the $733 was too much. We just need to cut that down to $450. Not with the heart of the problems of this bill in the first place. So we know we have some work on it's just different levels of complexity on that bill. You will also see that I've given you some information in regard to the ATC challenge, and the State Office of Education was given a charge to come back with a plan of how we could have a different funding process with the ATC. We as superintendents were concerned about that at USBA and stated that to our state superintendent, that in proceeding and giving that to the legislators is giving a mixed message, because we believe we need to support Representative Powell's bill that would repeal the changes that were made last year, because it's fundamentally flawed. We cannot seem to get across that our funding is done by a per pupil basis. The funding at the ATCs is not, it's by program. And that regardless of our kids being out there, their program is still going to be funded, and that we're actually taking extra seats, not taking seats up. And we've even said we would just do it, you know, if you only have three seats, and that's what we have, that's what we'll fill in. So it's no extra cost to the ATCs. That is right now falling on deaf ear. And so we have a somewhat of a...
They're just not hearing.
The word seems to be from UCAT that they think they have the votes in the Senate.
They don't have the votes in the House.
They don't have the votes in the House, and you get all of those Salt Lake representatives who don't have an Applied Technology College.
But what we can, we think that the our leverage there will be the fact that if we lose this funding, many districts will have to start looking at developing their own. And the source of
money
for that is what is now that the Canyons, Granites, and the Jordans are using to build there, because they have facilities that rival our ATCs. So with that money being shrunk, the legislators down there may be seeing that if they support this overall, the revision of the bill back to the way it was would actually help them out in the Salt Lake area, even though they don't have ATCs. So that's kind of where we are in the legislative process. A lot still to...
Scary.
It is going to be a very scary one. Part of it is education, but part of it is there's just a desire for change, but not necessarily a foundation, a strong foundation as to why that change needs to be made. And that's the unfortunate part. It's not based
change
on...
Change for change itself.
Right. It's not based upon solid reasoning.
I did have one positive today. I got a call from one of our legislators wanting to know how I felt about a particular bill before it was addressed. So that,
and which one was that? House
Bill 24 on health insurance, and bill that would require this to
go out to.
That's the one that had yet was the
Brambles
question. Not that one, but it was the one that Bird is running to require us to have a bid every 3 years, have two brokers when we do it. So they've called me, and I was able to talk to him about my problems with that bill. And then right after I got off the phone with him, I put together one of those little position briefs and shot it out for all of them.
And hopefully they're going to do that more because of the kind of the what we've established with them.
One of the things I'm hoping we can meet with them on Thursday is to set up some dates in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, because they all said they wanted that.
We're going to be able to touch base with them on a consistent basis with all of them there together.
Well, and with Cash with us as well.
Right.
Because they need to hear, because sometimes it affects both of us the same.
Sometimes
it's totally different.
Okay. Thank you, Marshall. Okay, I guess we'll have a report on the on our school board convention. So, Fred, would you like to start? Anything you have?
Well, I enjoyed it. I'll tell you that right off the bat. I felt like it was very worthwhile. Had national input on it as well. So, just briefly look at this. I went to the legislative issues meeting, Senator Aaron Osmond, and how do you pronounce that, Osmond? I guess is how it is. One of the comments that was made, notice to termination should be no more than 120 school days. And I thought that was interesting. The legislature will include money for technology and all-day kindergarten. And one of the comments that was made is adequately fund current educational programs before introducing new programs. And that was made by Steve Norton. I thought it was a very nice comment. He got up and gave a soapbox speech. Very good. Online education, I went to that one. One of the comments that says So far, courses taken online include computer science, CTE, driver ed, financial literacy, fine arts, healthy lifestyles, language, arts, math, science, social studies, world languages. So it's quite an offering already on that.
Which will be ending, because most of those are from the online high school,
yeah,
whose funding ends on June 30th.
Yep, that's right. There were a lot of acronyms thrown out, and I asked specifically, could you give us a definition of all those acronyms? And so he gave me a few: LMS, Learning Management System, CMS, Content Management System, UEO, Utah Education Online. Anyway, there were a lot of them. There were more. Then I went to the School Community Councils and Trustlands meeting with Rhonda Bromley from Alpine District. And I thought that was interesting. They talked about parent involvement and invited to identify the use of Trustland funds, and they gave us a handout that specifically outlined the requirements for making up that particular group. And then I went to the Utah Core meeting. An interesting comment made there was no longer tied directly to textbooks as far as the Utah Core is concerned. So it's moving in that direction of more and more technology. Well, that's what I went to, and I felt like it was very well done. Ate too much again, you know how that goes. And it's just a lot of food. And good company, though. You guys are great. Appreciated working with you.
I think we might as well do reports, too, rather than...
Go back and forth.
Yeah, so if you have any other reports, yeah, I think we might as well combine that.
Want to combine it and save time?
I think we might as well.
I attended the evaluation committee, and there were some more presentations this time around. Marshall was excused from that one, and Sharla Bierman gave the presentation. And they're in the process of looking at the state requirements. And I went to the safety committee meeting, and we had about 12 people in attendance there. Clark conducted that, discussed various policies and so forth. If you want to add anything, Clark, you can. Then I went to the FERC committee, and that was a little luncheon, and they discussed the ongoing program for this year. Claudia Brilliant made that presentation. Then I went to the region swim meet over at Mountain Crest. I have a granddaughter that's in on the swimming team, and that was a total bomb out. Mountain Crest and Skyview cleaned it up, and Logan got third, I think, with the girls, and fourth with the boys, so didn't do all that hot, but he says we're going to do better at state, so that's my report.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Ann?
I enjoyed the conference. I thought Jamie Vollmer's point, some of you weren't able to attend his Thursday night presentation, but one of the things that he talked about, and I think it's something we have to keep reminding ourselves, he talked about if you want school change to get from A to B, if you don't go through C, the community, you do not make the progress. And I think with one of the issues we're dealing with right now, you know, some would say, oh, we'll just do it. Well, if we don't have that community component, one of his examples was if you decide you're not going to do prom because of this problem, and you have really good reasons, if you don't go through your parent groups and the rest of the community, you're always going to have prom. And he really had some compelling things, especially if we are wanting to ever pass a bond. You know, who votes? Most of them don't have children. And so we really have to reach out to the community, those who have raised their families or who don't have children. They're the taxpayers that often are the voters, and we've got to convince them that education's a good investment. So that was really good. Lynn and I went to the Master's Boards Award, and as we told you, they were just trying out new software, and as we went through this program, and what they did, the first one was the, you know how normally we receive the open meeting law. If you go on to, all of you should have received an invitation from USBA to power up, you need to go in there and sign on and register and then take the open meetings law.
Yes.
What was funny is that one of them was wrong. And so we started saying things like, and we raised our hand and said, hey, this is wrong. So we were saying, on number 8, the right wrong answer is A, or it won't let you pass. You know. So anyway, they're doing that. And as soon as I'm going to get what the passwords are for you now, and then I'd encourage all of you to go on and do sign up for the Master Boards Award. We need to decide if we're going to do it as a board or just as individuals. There are articles to read, but you really need to go on and do the open meetings law, because Lynn has to attest that all of us are trained in that every year as board president. So, you know, you need to make sure you've done that. That was interesting. Whenever you start a new program, there are always bugs. I went to all day, ended up, Robert, is it Eaker?
Eaker.
Went to his one class at Bennett. He is the head guy with PLCs, and he was there.
He's with DeForce. I mean,
yeah,
he started with DeForce. He was kind of the research part of the pair, and is now branched out on his own.
And anyway, he talked about professional learning communities. We're always talking about professional learning communities, and his discussions he built on his discussions all day. And so after attending the first one, then I stayed, because some of the things, the issues that we are dealing with right now, part of it is getting our schools to function as PLCs, professional learning communities. And how do you do that? And, you know, some of the things that were discussed, were, especially the first session I went to, were exactly some of our situations currently. Schools that have run with it and are operating so well, and schools that are getting hung up on, and they said, we've tried to de-emphasize the initials PLC and just say, the way we do things at this school or in this district is we do this, this, and this. And they challenged us to function as a school board, as a PLC. And that the district administration should be a PLC. And that we model the behavior we want the schools to do. And so that was a very good class. I just want to say I was thrilled with how well that Logan High Crimson Colony performed. I would really like a thank you note written, signed by all of us. Do you want me to take that on? I just really think it would be nice to have a signature from all of us telling them how important it was to us, and we were thrilled to finally have a representative, and how great they did. They really did an outstanding job. So I could go on my other things, but you all went to some of those as well. On my report, first of all, I would like to make sure that my motion, when we first adopted the consent calendar, you told us that if we had an issue with anything on the consent calendar, we pulled it off and then it became the first item of business. That's why I pulled all of the minutes, because I thought then we would, since that was one item, then we would talk about minutes. So since, basically, I would say I'd like my motion changed to that I'm just pulling the December 13th minutes, because that's the one I had a problem with. But since we're not discussing them, then the other 2 minutes are fine. That's the one that needs to be pulled, and we probably could have dealt with it. But so we need to decide how do we, you know, what is the proper way if we want something pulled? Does it become the first item, or is it just gone? So that's a discussion we need to have. Yesterday, BATC met, we had our audit report. What's interesting, the state auditor does their audit, and it's always just this real glowing report. What's interesting now, UCAT riffed its internal auditor, and that's the thing, they have had an internal auditor auditing them. They found it was cheaper to have a company come in and be their internal auditor. Many of the notes from their internal auditor were very similar to our comments, you know, such as the, there's such a small accounting department, how do you, so it was, I was quite pleased to see that the outside firm did things very similar to what our accounting firm does, and I was going to bring you a copy of that. I will do so. And they are, of course, very concerned about the legislature and funding issues. Last year, they actually did not lose funding. They had $173,000 more funding, but that was after 2 years of almost 30% budget cuts. So they snuck through last year, but now they're concerned they're going to lose our high school students. And that was the majority of our meeting yesterday. We did discuss that. I'm supposed to have an INTEC meeting on Thursday. I don't know if we'll make it back in time for me to go to the INTEC board meeting. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Jim?
I thought the convention was outstanding, as usual. I think it's always beautifully organized. The presenters were top drawer. I thought Dr. Bloomer's lecture was excellent. I thought the comic we had was...
Oh, I'd laugh so hard.
Yeah, I laughed so hard I thought I was going to be sick.
Especially after eating like we did.
I thought Chad Lewis's talk was inspiring. The whole meeting was very up in a very down time, which was very nice to go to meeting after meeting where people are positive and have a positive outlook about education, makes you feel like you can continue on. I thought the professional learning communities was an excellent presentation, and I wish I'd been there for the whole time because I thought there was so much we could have gained from that whole session. And I think Anne's right when she talks about the need for us to consider how to become more like a professional learning community as a board and how to implement that and to model it for a district. I enjoyed Burbage's talk on legal issues. I thought he did a good job. I enjoyed that. I thought the whole time was, I think, well worth our time, well spent. We probably could skip a couple of meals in there someplace because it seemed like we would eat and sit and eat and sit and eat and sit and eat some more because I had to go to Chocolate Malt at night.
So yeah, I was going to say, you had an extra one at night.
I had to get that Chocolate Malt in, so that made it difficult for me to get that in. Of all the other food items.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So we might want to take something out.
So you can still
get the malt.
So yes. Maybe you could get two this next time.
I could. If we cut something out, I could get two malts. Mm-hmm. Instead of just only one, I felt bad about that. And so I thought the meeting was excellent. The personal report, we've got Edith Bowen Governing Board coming up this week. Isn't it Thursday? Is it next week?
I thought it was next week.
Must be
next
week. I don't have it on here, so it's coming up soon.
Yes.
And Karen's back in school. I'm back in school. The students came back to class. I was a little bit disappointed about that. So I'm having to teach. So I'm having to do my other job.
So you're back to work.
Yeah. It's really terrible.
Well, you could always do what Karen's doing.
Well, I can't do that because I can't afford it because she's doing that. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Well, I too enjoyed the conference. I think it's excellent. My only concern is I wish you could get into more of those, more of the classes. Some of them, they're so good. One particular thing on the online that I particularly liked is it Granite and them that are. I don't have his name here, but anyway, he led the discussion I talked to you about. He said, though, they're prepared, instead of charging that full amount, that they would just charge like a school a certain amount, and so it would be much less than what if we continue to go through their online.
If Senate Bill 65 is not adjusted.
Yeah.
there's still some things we can do as a consortium.
Right.
But okay. The sad part about it is that it's still putting a cost on something that wasn't a cost before. That's the unfortunate part of the whole thing.
But it would be much more reasonable, and so they're prepared. They said if it does go into effect, they're ready to start that up immediately and a change. Besides the ones that you've pretty much talked to, I went to the Latinos in Action, and I was really impressed with...
Isn't he amazing? We heard him at Academy.
He's a great guy, and I just, you know, I know we haven't had a report. I think it'd be nice if we could have a report from them on what they are, how ours is going this year, if we could. And then this... Last week, Christy and I have been with Marshall
quite a few times.
We've spent, I think we've had three meetings, probably spent a total of about 8 hours meeting with the high school. I don't know if anything's been accomplished, but I think that I felt good about the meeting that we had last Thursday when we met with the heads of all the departments.
So you three did?
Yes.
Good for
and
you.
So we went there, and I don't know, Marshall, I'll let you talk, but I stated how I felt, and I think there was some aha moments in that.
We've got a long way to go with communication with the high school.
Amen.
A lot of their perceptions are based upon fallacies that some, you know, there may have been a kernel of truth somewhere, but a lot of times it's not even a kernel of truth. And they're running on emotion right now. And this, we just have got to work with them in terms of what it is they're doing, where they need to be going, decisions made. We were very clear about the process. We are not going to have a change next year.
So even in prep time?
No. And so they will continue. Dan and I will have to work through the process for funding for this year. And again, part of that is discussions potentially with the board and what we do for a potential voted leeway. There's a lot still that we need to work on that part, but with that though, we've talked about prior to them being able to come, Paul Wagner was very clear, you know, he said, what in terms of timeline, what do you think? So we said by December, what this means is that, you know, you have to have some dialogues, and that dialogue is you have to first do a comprehensive review of what you have. And if there are gaps, then let's look at the gaps. And if there are some things that can be changed for next year that aren't scheduled but are just program-type things, then you have the right to do that. Lynn and Christie's very adamant saying that there's very little process that has occurred that we have not approved. And I did put into play, and this is an area of some concern on the high school's part, I said part of it is it's if there was a problem with recommendations coming to the board or to me, it was in the process of which you came. If there was not a concerted effort to make sure that there was lots of dialogue by lots of people, from students, if necessary, and some of the things needed to have student input, you had to have parent input, and you have to have staff input. And any decisions that have been slowed down by the board have been done because the process did not ensure that all people had voice.
Didn't go through C. Tried to go straight from A to B.
And in that process, I said, well, then what is consensus? We'll never get consensus. I said, we may never get 100% on the same page, but consensus means you have your voice has been heard and that you can live with the decisions that are made. And We work through a consensus process in order to ensure that we have every good idea on the table, and the things that are not good that we have been able to clearly see they're not good and we shouldn't be using them. So we gave them a structure. I'll be working with Dan on developing how they're going to do it at the school level so that they have a clear process of communication back to the board of what the discussions and dialogues are going to be, and making sure that, that they're involving the right people at the building level.
It was interesting. I felt like the meeting we had with the department heads was more effective than when we had the one with the associations in a lot of ways over there because of the misunderstandings. I mean, it is, well, I think you probably all, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm present, but the emails are just unreal to me the last 4 weeks.
I haven't had an email this last week.
Oh, my gosh.
I've had some letters in the mail.
Well,
there's been,
I mean, we kind of laid everything out. One of what we've heard and everything, and I think, you know, the perception out there is what we as a board have been doing, that we've said yay, 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 and nay, nay, nay to certain things, and so I just made it very clear that all those things that we have been accused of are not right. I mean, I've had all I can say.
And you tell us what it is, and we'll answer to that charge.
I think we took care of that, and so I felt much better after that. However, I was visited with yesterday and spent 2 hours and hear the same things. I mean, the emotions right now are unreal at high school. There is no... I don't know. It's
at our work session in February. The visit will be extended. We're going to be going basically from 1 until at least 3, if not 3:15. We will start actually our work session time here at 3:30. During that time frame, we want to have the department chairs be able to be there, as well as the RST team leaders, and have some dialogue and discussion of what are some things that they're doing right now and some of the things that they're seeing as barriers, to have a somewhat of an open dialogue process with them. So that'll be an opportunity with the administration there as well as all of us.
So it'll be interesting. In fact, you've seen that we had a couple associations that weren't here tonight. It's basically the reason why they're not. It's over what's going on.
So they're mad.
Yeah. So anyway, there's just so much misunderstanding that it's just absolutely wild, in my opinion. But anyway, I think we're working on it. I think it's going to take a while. I honestly don't see at this point until things are rectified to some way how we could ever go for a vaulted leeway. It's just out of the question.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, there is so much bitterness and finger pointing that until we're on, and basically that's kind of why we left it, is we either go together all at once or, you know, we can't. There's just no way.
Jamie Vollmer said that we're our own worst enemies. It's somebody saying to a friend in the line at the grocery store or whatever, an educator saying, well, da 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 da. And all of the good things that are said, that one or two negative comments, and then they get built on and built on and built on. And that if we aren't going to get our whole family working together, we can never take anything to the community because they will have heard all of these things from the family, and it's impossible to move forward.
I think that just my own opinion, that I feel like we can resolve these issues and move forward. I really do. I think it's just a lot of misunderstanding and just the stirring up and looking. I think some of the things I can tell you, maybe as a board, and I've sit and thought a lot about this, you know, I know we've spent money on capital. We understand it. But to the average person, they do not understand it. All they see is our funding has been cut, we're in a strap, and yet we're doing this, this, and
we
this.
We have iPads and we have projectors.
The only thing that I can tell you is maybe as a board, if we would have understood that a little better, maybe we would have put off some of those things for a little bit. Now, at the same time saying, would it be wise? I don't know. But it's, I think we just have to understand.
How do we communicate in a way where,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that was stated at the National Title I Conference is that schools and districts that are progressing have got to have a balance between what they're able to do for staff in terms of their remuneration and all of the benefits. But if you do not allow them to have also up-to-date equipment and facilities that are workable, that you're also tying their hands. So there's got to be, you know, you've got to keep a balance, but you cannot just say, we will not do capital situations, and we will not put that. We will not put the right tools in a teacher's hands, because that in and of itself does not allow them to excel. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance, and it's a communication process. Much easier to do when people are not in an emotional state.
Yeah. So with that, Zane, do you have a report? Anything you?
Yes. A few things I wanted to visit with you about.
Of course.
About 10 pages.
If you go to the information you received, you'll see our board financial report. And we did, December is our big month for receiving our property taxes. So you'll see that local revenue is up. And pretty close to the ballpark for what it was last year in most of those accounts. So I don't really have any anomalies to report there. At USBA, Alex Buxton from Zions Bank gave us an updated report on our outstanding debt, and I've included that in this report. I don't know if you have particular questions about that. The things that are notable that I would mention is that we basically have two big outstanding LGO debt obligations. If everything goes well, those will be completed, I think, in 2019, so in about 7 years, all our GO debt will be paid off. Our MBA bonds are scheduled to pay off in 2028. And I just wanted to point out that, in fact, one of the things on the consent calendar was the payment of an extra $250,000 in principal on those bonds that we budgeted for in our budget, but we have to make that an official action so I can make that happen. That's going to save about $1.5 million, and those will be paid off the last, I looked, about 2021, so as opposed to 2028.
That's great.
So I think those are good decisions that the board has made. Wanted to make you aware that we've talked about fiscal software and the fact that USOE was going to discontinue supporting our accounting system, basically. Alpine School District ran the lead on an RFP on behalf of 23 school districts. And a decision has been made. And we had a conference call yesterday with most of us, and the company that was awarded the contract is Alio, Weidenhammer. There's one district in the state right now that has them. That's Nebo. Anyway, when Alpine did a very meticulous, time intense, labor intense process of awarding that RFP. And I felt good because we budgeted about $250,000 for this because I thought that's about what it might be. Cause just from who I talked to, Cash converted a few years ago. And
they're on a different system, right?
They're on a different system. But the price, it looks like, for first year, which includes the software license, maintenance agreements, and first year support, is going to be about, well, the top end, they said, would be like $165,000. But there are a few modules that we're not going to be getting, and so I think it'll be less, maybe $160,000. That's a lot of money. This year is going to be crazy making that conversion. But I've got myself appointment on that. Rick Stallings is the IT guy in charge. Well, we talked today. I think we're going to be able to get by without having to buy a lot of servers. Our IT department's got they call them virtual servers, basically. They can, without all the hardware, basically, they can make several servers out of one machine. I don't know how it all works, but we found out that that's going to work, so that's going to save us probably $12,000 in hardware. So we're moving forward with that. And I, along with Ogden District, basically volunteered to let us be first out of the chute. They have a goal of having all the districts, all 23, up and running by the 1st of July with regards to the finance piece of it. The payroll conversion won't happen until probably the 1st of January next year because they need to do it on a calendar year cutoff. It's just too much. But so we're rolling on that, and we'll be on the bonnet, I guess. One of the things I talked to the superintendent about and wanted to get your take on was some of you, I think, were at the School Boards Academy this fall and saw the finance presentation that I did.
Pretty good.
I talked to the superintendent about maybe taking that and tailoring it to our staff and trying to go out and hit every school after school sometime, and I thought a school at a time between now and the next 2 months.
That's a good idea.
And give people an opportunity to come. I'll make it a half-hour presentation and take any questions they want to throw at us with regards to how it works. Try to make it as understandable as possible. I think with the graphics that I used there, might be able to help them get a better picture of how the whole thing works and why you can do this and you can't do that, and it's not a matter necessarily of them liking it so much as if they understand it.
I think that has some real value.
So if you guys, I don't have any suggestions on that, or if you think that's okay, I'll move that direction. I don't think it would take a lot to
tweak the
presentation a little bit.
You know, I was thinking, yeah, do it specific Logan, but I also think some of those comparisons with other districts, it's really good. Hey, to compare it with the cash. One of their board members told me down there, you know, we really haven't been affected by these budget cuts because we grow.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, and just kind of showing some of the differences in us versus their friends that they live by or work, you know, because there are differences in each program.
Every district's been able to deal with the last few years in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And last year affected everybody differently. I mean, small districts with necessarily existent small schools money, they got a pretty nice windfall. As underfunded as they are, they still ended up with pretty good windfall last year because of that change and the increase in the WPU value. But so anyway, I'm going to do that with your blessing, and when I do those, if you want, I'll...
Could you do us a presentation first?
Give you a session. Maybe I'll... I don't know what our work sessions...
The work session in February, we'll have MHT in here working with you on the master plan process and getting into some detail. But we could possibly do it at this end. Still have it available, maybe get it out to you at least and make
and
sure.
And then we can ask the questions on it.
Well, what I thought I'd do is, as we schedule the meetings, I can let you know when they are.
That'd be good.
Invited to do that.
Well, and can we probably don't have any money to incentivize attending it. I'm just wondering how...
We're looking at... No, it's going to be done during their...
During a faculty meeting? Okay. Right. So it might be in the morning. Right. It might be in the afternoon. Okay.
Right. We'll tailor it during their time.
Because to just show up like we did with some of our capital stuff, you know, some schools people came and other...
Yeah.
And it was the schools where the principal really encouraged participation that we had a good group of people there.
Well, this is one of those things where... it's like, here's your chance to understand. If you choose not to come, then barring some good excuse for not being there, maybe it's just us.
Well, then come to the one at the other schools.
You know, but anyway, so I'll plan on that. I think that was it, unless you guys had any questions for me.
Any questions?
No.
Okay, Marshall.
Thanks.
You need to know how proud, you should be very, very proud of Bridger Elementary School. We took a team of, there were nine of us altogether. There were six teachers, and Dave Long, myself, and Robin, who went to the National Title I Conference, and they had the accolades as the... there were 33 states who had schools in a very similar position that Bridger's in terms of exceptional growth in their student population in terms of scores and success. And that celebration was wonderful. It was very well deserved. And these teachers, as we went to different, listening to different experts, it was amazing to watch them going, ooh, if we can just take this back, we can do things we do. I mean, they were just, their minds never stopped. And always on the greatness for kids, always on what they could do to help their peers. Because everything, they were very sensitive, saying, you know, these are some things that maybe we can take back to this grade or that grade and work with them on it. What do you think? It was just such an honor to be with them. And they did us proud. What we are accomplishing in our district is right with what everybody else is trying to do, but we, as always, are doing it better, truthfully. I mean, many of the things that they were going to have said, yeah, we've already done that, but then they could see how they could even do it even better. And I know that same vibrancy is in every one of our six elementary schools, and even at the middle school and even at the high school in sectors. But we have got some great, great teachers, and it was just really neat to be able to be with them for the last few days. And we walked in the rain a lot. We had rain and snow and sleet and hail. It was in Seattle.
Oh, wow.
So it was a unique experience on that. But truthfully, I think as we look at the changes that are coming about, with our assessments, it will finally get us to a point where we can validate more the great things that are going. Because the way AYP has been, one little small subsection, which in most of our cases literally came down to one, maybe two, maybe three children who didn't quite, you know, weren't quite at that 160 bar. They were at 159 or 158. And our staffs, unfortunately, beat themselves up silly because they had not gotten there. And we're going to be away from that. and being able to really celebrate. We still have work, and we have a staff that's willing to work. It just reinvigorated me to be excited to be able to work with them and on this journey.
Will they be reporting to us?
Yes, we're going to figure out a time for them, probably in March.
Tell them we want their hats.
And if you want to, on February, we didn't have to do hats.
You didn't do hats. I just know how
no.
that Adams didn't
I,
hats.
Well, and so did Ellis, but they didn't do hats. But on February 14th, they're going to be having their celebration during the day. And their celebration is, they're doing it in combination with their normal Valentine's tea. Instead of doing that, Dave has ordered special plates for each of the kids. And they have, Paul has been working on a special luncheon for all of the children that day. And they'll be all dressed up. All the kids will be dressed up, and they'll be doing some activities that day to celebrate as a school. Hmm. So we'll get you more information on that. That gets
and
closer.
Then they have their celebration next.
Yes, and you're welcome to
Monday
come to that
12:30,
on right 12:30 at Elements. It'll be that's where we're giving them their dinner. We missed the one for Alice, unfortunately, because we were at USBA, but that was the only time that Sue could bring them all together. So they'll be there at Elements, and then they're staying on for some additional work as a faculty.
Marshall. I don't know if they've got time, and I know Suzanne's gone, but we got all our furniture today, and if you got 5 minutes, I'd sure love to show you.
Most of the furniture is what we have.
How things are organized downstairs and how that's going to
customer service is going to be much, much better than what we've been able to have.
Customer service is important. It really is. Especially because the customers are our own employees.
Well, it's a unique department because we have customers coming in who are not part of us, but it's their first line with the district in terms of communication. Then we have our ongoing customers, meaning our staff, that are part of that. And with two part-time employees as well as only one full-time in that department, it really makes a difference in terms of how we can service our patrons.
Well, you should have been up there today. It was 55 and the kids are playing outside just before I came. So.
Where was this?
Seattle.
You were at Seattle today?
No.
No, but those kids.
I was Skyping with my grandkids.
Oh, okay.
It rained this morning, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now I see what you're saying.
Okay. With that, we'll adjourn at 8:12.
Thank you for coming, Mary.
Mary, thank you so much.
I need to apologize to Dr. Dersch. I told him I would give a copy of a letter that I had sent to him to you all, and for the life of me, I can't find it. So, Fred, I apologize.
Well, that's okay.
If you still have
it. I don't have it, but that's okay. She sent me a letter agreeing with me on my comments on the emissions testing.
And you notice we didn't have anything more. We've not received anything from USU nor from the city as to having any further discussions. So until I do.
Until we have something official.
Well.